Hi, Shakib. Welcome to the Big Unlock podcast. And like we were chatting just before we started recording, I would love for you to do your introduction. We are carrying on this Big Unlock podcast, which was started by Paddy Padmanabhan. And this is the 146th podcast. So very excited to have you as the guest and looking forward to our interaction. And if you would like to start with intros, then we can go on from there.
Sure. Thanks, Rohit. Appreciate you having me on. Glad to be the 146th. You know, it's a good number. And by way of introduction, my name is Shakib Akhtar. I'm the Chief Digital and Information Officer at CHOP, where I oversee digital and technology services, our overall enterprise digital transformation strategy, and all things ranging from infrastructure, applications, cybersecurity, AI, data and analytics. So been in that role for almost 3 years now, and it's been wonderful. So I'm looking forward to speaking with you about the work we're doing.
That's great. That's great. And as the viewers might know that I'm Rohit Mahajan. I'm the managing partner and CEO at Demo Consulting and Bigrio. And would love to learn, Shakib, from you that what motivated you or started you off in your healthcare journey?
Yeah, it's a great question. It takes me many years back, years ago. So I think I shared with you my background actually is in finance and economics. So I spent kind of a career of two stories. You know, one is a decade or so in finance, started with Big Four consulting in financial services consulting, and then spent some time working in banking, particularly in derivatives, quantitative modeling during the 2008 financial crisis, and really understanding technology and banking, as well as just quantitative modeling and derivatives. And so that was very interesting, very interesting time just in the world of using data and analytics and technology to drive things forward. And during that time, you know, I realized that I wanted to do something a bit more meaningful with my career long term and looked around to see where I might spend the rest of my time more aligned with my mission and values. And so I found healthcare to be a great place to go in terms of building something that's a legacy of driving improvement, contributing back to humanity to some degree, and improving healthcare. So I decided consciously to make a pivot, kind of a hard pivot from banking, finance life, to move into healthcare technology. It's been a great rewarding ride since, full of change and opportunity to give back, which has been amazing. And I've learned a lot. So really happy with making that decision.
That's great to know, Shakib. Would you like to tell us more about what are the things that are driving you at CHOP from delivering the services that you do, and touch upon a bit for us on your digital literacy, also your digital culture initiatives?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think just to give a quick overview of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, we have a very special mission here. Our mission is really to drive answers to the most complex problems to give every child a hope for a healthy future. And so CHOP, it was the first pediatric hospital in the United States.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So it's a lot of folks don't know that. And we really focus on three major areas, you know, providing excellent patient care, innovative research, and then quality education to drive the industry forward. And so that's really our mission and kind of the things that drive us. We, just to give you a sense of our size and, you know, where we operate, we have three hospital locations. So we have one hospital that's exclusively dedicated to behavioral health. We're obviously based in Philadelphia. You know, it's in the name. We have more than 50 care network sites, which can include our urgent care, primary care, specialty care sites. We have around 1.5 million outpatient visits in any given year, somewhere around 30 to 35,000 admissions in a given year. While we're located in Philadelphia, we do a lot of work in the tri-state area. We do have a global footprint. So CHOP sees children from all 50 states and over 65 countries globally. So that's also something that typically surprises folks. We have a pretty large international presence. In terms of number of folks that we have at CHOP, around 28,000 employees with 2,000 credentialed physicians and dentists. We have around 680 or so beds, give or take 700. And we also have a very large research institute to drive research-based breakthroughs in pediatric care. And so all of those elements in terms of clinical operations, research, and our foundation arm work together to drive transformation in pediatric care.
That is awesome. I understand that you focused on some special initiatives Shakib, around digital literacy. You know, it's coming fast at us, all the change that we see, especially with the Gen AI and AI, which we'll talk about later. But things are changing and care needs to be more accessible. So I guess you have some, you know, good initiatives around training people and teaching people about all things digital and also building a digital culture in the organizations. So could you please talk with us about that?
Sure. I mean, I think to answer the question, maybe taking a couple of steps back from that, you know, when I took on the role as the CIO almost 3 years ago, we embarked on a journey to develop a digital transformation strategy. So prior to that, we had an information services strategy, information technology, but we really took the time as a team across CHOP to define what digital transformation means to us. What does it actually mean besides kind of the buzzword of, you know, digital transformation? Yeah. And so we defined it as kind of a systematic and intentional redesign of everything we do through the use of technology. And I think the other key for us is that the digital transformation strategy was developed in partnership with our chief strategy officer, with our chief medical officer, with our chief operations, one of our chief operations officers, and had a lot of participation from many folks, about, I would say, somewhere around 200 people across the enterprise. What does it mean to us? Where are our areas of focus? How might we achieve really creating a digital culture at CHOP? And so that's kind of the framing of how this work started a couple of years ago. That was really great to get a lot of the ideas from folks in terms of where should we focus our efforts? What's important to us at CHOP? What leverages our strengths and helps us move, transform ourselves and the industry forward? So I think with that, our areas of focus were really around, we picked three. One is AI and automation. And no meeting is complete without mentioning AI at least one. So we've done that now. And so AI and automation, what does it mean for us? How might we leverage it to make our lives easier, our work easier, give time back to our clinicians, and create efficiency in all that we do and drive, you know, innovation in terms of how we drive care and in research and innovation. The second part is total experience. How do we improve the total experience? And we define that as patient experience, provider experience, and employee and partner experience, right? And thinking about it, kind of all facets of the world that we interact with, how might we use technology to improve that? And that's really talking about our digital door strategy. How do we improve access? How do we create a integrated, seamless experience for our patients to access care at CHOP? And how do we reduce time to care? Also, from the provider side, it's all about, from our perspective, there's a lot of burnout from a clinician perspective, right? And documentation burden, et cetera. How can we use technology to reduce some of that burden, or reduce some work in that space, improve satisfaction with the EMR, et cetera? And then the last piece is, how do we make it more seamless from a referral standpoint, our partners to interact with us as a health system? The last piece of that strategy is digitally enabled care models. So how can we create care models that are digitally enabled to help us take care of our patients where they need the care? So the way our care network talks about it is meeting our patients where they are. And so part of that is we've launched a number of remote patient management programs to be able to provide care, discharge children out of the hospital earlier, get them to their homes without sacrificing the level of care. So those are some of the initiatives we have. And I think the secret to our success with our strategy is really digital is steeped in improving the things that we stand for already, which is high quality, the best patient outcomes, the best patient experience, driving research and innovation. And so that's our philosophy. And we've steeped digital into our business strategy. But don't think about it as a separate component. It's really about us being digital rather than doing digital. And that's kind of the framing we have in our mind when we think about digital.
That's a really interesting positioning, Shakib. And I'm sure that your background in data and analytics has helped, really propel it forward.
You know, I'm a big proponent of data analytics. That's steeped in my DNA, you know, for a very long time. And I think it's kind of the cornerstone for driving digital. You know, it's really the foundation competency to be able to say, what is the current state of performance? How might we improve that? How do we measure and monitor performance moving forward? We use data and analytics as much as we can and whenever we can to drive our digital transformation efforts and measure the outcome of those efforts. So that's really, really important to us.
That makes sense. Could you tell us, some insights on or learnings on this journey that you have? You know, especially all of us know that the data is in disparate systems. How do you kind of get it ready for this, you know, 360 degree view of the patient, let's say, or any 360 degree view? And how do you make it happen in a large system like yours, which is seeing millions of patients and thousands of physicians?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think from my perspective, our data analytics strategy, which we built almost 5 years ago, has six pillars to it. You know, the first is creating an enterprise data hub. So getting all of our data in one single enterprise, you know, data warehouse or lakehouse, if you want to call it that. But we have a very large enterprise data warehouse that collects all information. We have over 100 source systems feeding to this data warehouse, both structured data and unstructured data, that really allow us to harness, essentially ingest all the data into a single repository. The second step of that strategy is to model the data appropriately, right? So we really want to integrate the data sets and be able to standardize, normalize data, deduplicate the data, and really trust it. So the second part of that is really the data integration components once we have it all together. That's a component of our strategy that I think is really important. And beyond that, you know, the next step is having trusted data. We have lots of solutions and processes in place in terms of driving data trust across the enterprise. Mm-hmm. We view that as a fundamental need in order for data. If data is not trusted, it cannot be used for data-driven decision-making. And so what we have done is created a data trust office that focuses on data governance, data quality, data stewardship, and all those standards and best practices. And all of those rules are applied at our data warehouse layer to create what's called a trusted data layer. And then our enterprise-grade analytics solutions are based on this trusted data layer so that we've gotten rid of most of the discussions in terms of where does this data come from, what does it mean, et cetera. We also recently, a year or so ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, released our enterprise data catalog, which is one single front door to all our data assets at CHOP. Our metric definitions, our cohorts, our dashboards, everything is within this catalog, which also increases accessibility to data. And so I think that's a little bit about what's unique. And then I think moving from that, you know, our thought is if we have a data repository, if we have trusted data and integrated data, then we can also create a data literate workforce, which is critical. And so we've invested a lot of time in data literacy, and we've established a data analytics university that's now trained thousands of people at CHOP on our kind of proprietary way of how we want people to think through how do you use data? What's our data ecosystem? How do you tell stories with data? How do you assess if data is of quality? And then how do you ultimately make a data-driven decision? So we have a whole DNA university that provides all sorts of courses at different levels for folks to train them on how to use data effectively at CHOP, which then leads to the last two layers of our strategy, which is if we have all of these components and we have trained folks on how to use data well, then we can deploy self-service analytics solutions. We've done that a lot, and we've seen a huge adoption because of the literacy work and the trust work and the enterprise work that we've done with our data warehouse. And now we're really focusing on moving to predictive, you know, data science, advanced analytics. You know, how might we predict the outcome prior to happening? So that's the advanced analytics component of our data analytics.
Right. And I was just thinking to myself, Shakib, that all this plays very well into Gen AI also, right? Because, you know, Gen AI is now democratizing the access. You know, anyone can use it in plain, simple English. Right. So could you talk with us about your thoughts or any of your initiatives? What are you thinking about on the Gen AI side of things?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think Gen AI, along with every other type of AI, is highly, highly reliant on large data sets that are of high quality. And so I think, you know, when my team and I talk about it, we say that the rate limiting step to deploying AI at scale is data quality. And so we're highly, highly focused on measuring, monitoring, and improving our data quality. We're implementing a lot of tools to be able to do that, in addition to the data trust work that I just talked about. That's, I think, the key. And I think in terms of AI, I always remind folks that Gen AI is the newest and most nascent form of AI.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've got deep learning and machine learning and natural language processing and computer vision, and all these things have been around for decades as studied, tried and true applications of AI. And they all also rely on high quality data. We're focusing, when we talk about AI, we want to be inclusive of those other branches of AI and say how we're going to apply those as well. And then Gen AI obviously is one that has a ton of potential. It's the newest, brightest in terms of the amount of attention. Some of the ways that we're planning on using Gen AI, we are in the process of testing what we're calling CHOP GPT. It's our own instance of ChatGPT that we plan on using. And our vision for AI, at least for AI at large, is AI as an ally to our workforce.
Of course.
And we want to position AI to help us work smarter and care better for our patients. That's really our focus for the use of AI. And in terms of Gen AI, we've worked on developing ChatGPT. We're also working on potentially other uses of AI. For example, we've begun training a large language model on all our policies and procedures. It was easily searchable, easily accessible to folks in doing their work. And then in terms of broader AI, we're also using it to, we're using predictive AI to be able to predict claims denials prior to them going happening, predicting other clinical events. That's our thought there. And in terms of Gen AI, we've also partnered a lot with Epic. There's a couple of things I should call out there. A couple of things that I want to mention. You know, one is that we're the first organization to scale what's called augmented response, ART, augmented response technology with Epic, to all of our clinicians. So this is the ability to draft, use LLMs to draft a response to a patient message.
I see.
And so our clinicians get, you know, millions of messages from their patients in a given year. And so obviously it takes a lot of time to review those. And so we've now been able to scale that as the first organization in the country to all of our clinicians. And now we're working on use cases with Epic around note summarization and other things that would be reducing burden for our clinicians.
Very cool. Very cool. So Shakib, moving on to another topic of interest, which I usually like to touch upon in large systems, it is difficult. One would imagine that it is difficult to do innovation. So what is your approach at Chop around innovation? And along with that, you know, I'll add on a question, is that how do you work with startups? Because startups are innovating all the time. They're coming out with new solutions. So if you could touch upon these two areas, it would be great.
Sure. So from an innovation perspective, you know, innovation is in Chop's DNA. It has been for a very long time from a clinical and research standpoint. That's the hallmark of the organization. And so I think we're trying to bring that same thinking into the technology landscape. And how will we drive? And so I think a couple of ways. One is we partner with our research institute to really identify those research scientists who are doing research and development in the space, who are looking at leveraging AI, machine learning, and other techniques in healthcare in new and novel ways. And we figure out how can we support them in their work. So that's one. Two is, you know, I think we look for our starting point in terms of digital innovation is always defining a problem, challenge that is impactful to CHOP first, and then working backwards to determine a technology solution. We do not look at technology in search of a problem. And so we really harp on problem statements, outcome metrics, and then prioritizing where we will spend our time and effort. Our chief medical officer has also launched an innovation catalyst program to identify areas that are particularly have some large challenging problems. And our team, our DTS, Digital Technology Services team, is embedded in those conversations to try to determine if there is a technology solution that will help drive innovation in an individual solution in that space. The second part of your question in terms of how do we partner with startups? Our strategy really is that we are constantly scanning the market, you know, in terms of what are new solutions that add value and help us solve the pain point that we currently have. Mm-hmm. Our strategy is a couple of different, you know, has a couple of different prongs. One is we have a platform play strategy. So we always turn to our current partners and what I refer to as platform plays. Mm-hmm. Who are big, large strategic partners that we already work with? Do they have an existing solution that meets our requirements? And if that's not the case, then we scan the market and say, all right, you know, we're open to other solutions. How might we partner with others? Long term, I believe that we're going to move in a direction where when we do see a unique solution, we will want to approach startups with key problems that we're trying to solve at CHOP and open that offering up to other startups in the market and say, if you're working in this space and meet our requirements, please submit an application. We'd love to hear from you. And so that's kind of, as we work on the Center for Digital Innovation, that's the next component. That, you know, and kind of vision of how we work with startups. And then we would love to co-develop product with others and potentially sharing the success of that. So that's kind of what we're thinking about, you know, a little bit in the future in terms of how we partner with the startup ecosystem.
That's great. That's great. So Shakib, I would like to, you know, wrap up the session with your thoughts on, or, you know, your insights on what's coming next, or the professor at Wharton who I used to work with, Professor Jerry Wynn, used to say, the next big thing. So what do you think is the next big thing or the next big innovation, whatever you are thinking about?
Yeah, I think the next big thing is really being able to bring all the disparate data sets in healthcare together and be able to analyze and predict preventatively what patients are at risk for which diseases. Really, this concept of precision medicine. I think we're on the cusp of that in terms of technology, in terms of the data sets that are being available, in terms of the interoperability standards of the data sets, you know, that are being led by the industry. I think this is kind of that moment where precision medicine will become a reality for us in the next few years, and is something that we can offer our patients more realistically. So I think that brings together a lot of things we talked about, right?
Yeah.
It's the data and analytics, AI will all be required, in addition to clinical decision support and informatics, to be able to put these ideas into workflow and identify a patient that is at risk for a particular disease using genomic data and other forms of data that they may not even be aware of, and then helping them improve their outcomes through that process. So I think that's the next big thing in healthcare, and I think we're at the right time for that tipping point.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Shakeem. This was an awesome session, and I'm looking forward perhaps to our next interaction as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Rohit. Really appreciate it.